Congratulations three times. I owe you three gifts. How's everybody doing today? It's very good to be here. My name is Miles. I want to welcome everybody to The Rock, and we want to welcome all the people watching online and watching in North County. We're excited about what God's doing, and I hope that God blesses you today. If you are having a tough day, a tough life, or this year's been bad, it's almost over. This year's almost over, so that's good news. But if, you know, things aren't going great for you, I just got a phone call an hour and a half ago, a young lady crying on the phone of her husband is doing something. So I know some of y'all are carrying some heavy burdens, but there is someone a whole lot stronger than you that wants to help you carry that burden. So we want to encourage you today. And I also want to prepare all of you who go here all the time that God has a special message for us. And I'm going to be sharing next couple weeks today, next week. Something he wants us to do, and it's very exciting. So let me pray for us and get ready for that. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. And I pray that you would bless today, bless everybody here. That, Lord, there are people here who are on the brink of death. Their marriages, their finances, their life. They see no hope in sight. I pray that you encourage them today and affirm in their heart right now that even though I may not know who they are, you do. Even though I might not know the whole story, you do. And I pray that they trust you. You always get them through, but they have to trust you and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bibles today. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Are y'all awake today? Say Jesus. Turn to Exodus chapter 3, the second book of the Bible, third chapter, second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 3. There was a guy who walked across a tightrope, it was a wire, across this big waterfall. If he fell into the water, he would die. It was a big waterfall. And when he got to the other side, he told the crowd that he was going to go back and walk on the tightrope again, but he was going to put a wheelbarrow on the wire and put dirt in the wheelbarrow and take the wheelbarrow across the tightrope. So he walks across, okay, takes him 3 hours or so. Gets to the other side, says, I'm going to go back, put a wheelbarrow on top. And he asked the crowd, do you believe I can get this wheelbarrow across without dropping any dirt? And they all said, yeah, you're the best tightrope walker in the world. So he put the wheelbarrow on top of the tightrope, put dirt in the wheelbarrow. And just as he started to walk out, he looked to this crowd that was right next to the wire. And he said, do you believe I could take this wheelbarrow across and not drop any dirt? And they said, yes, you're the best tightrope walker in the world. And this little boy was down, and he said, do you believe that I could take this and drop no dirt? And the boy said, yes. So he took the wheelbarrow and he dumped the dirt out, and he says, you get in and go with me. When we say we believe in Jesus, we're supposed to get in the wheelbarrow. Not part in the wheelbarrow, all in the wheelbarrow. Everybody say all in. Today I want to talk to you today about reaching all of San Diego and you being all in for that plan. Now, the wheelbarrow is God's plan for your life. The wheelbarrow is God's plan for us as a church, as a corporate group, and Jesus is the one pushing it. When you get in the wheelbarrow, you have to let him push it wherever he wants. And by the way, if Christ is holding the wheelbarrow, even if it falls off the wire, you can fly like Mary Poppins. I don't know, y'all know who Mary Poppins is. How many of y'all don't know who Mary Poppins is? You don't know who Mary Poppins is? Okay, most of y'all know she fly with a little umbrella. God said, hey, as long as he's got his hands on the wheelbarrow, which, by the way, he will never let go, you're good. But if you got one leg in and one leg out, you're in trouble. You got to be all in. So I want to talk to you today about being all in, because we have a very compelling responsibility that God has given us. In 1984, I received Christ as my Savior. In the first 2 years that I was a Christian, I was still playing football, and I was learning the Bible and playing. And then I told my wife, when football's over, we're moving back to New York or East Coast, where we're from. We had no need to stay here in our mind. And then I led my next door neighbor to the Lord. It was a 16-year-old kid. His brother had got arrested at 5 in the morning that day. And I said, you know, I'm going to go talk to him. And I never talked to him in my life. I saw him, but I didn't know him. Called him in the house. He got saved. I was like, I said, go get your sister. His sister was 14 at the time. She was about 89 pounds. She was on crystal meth. She was standing at the front door scratching herself and spinning around. She was 89 pounds. She got saved. By the way, I'm still, she's 40 now, and she's still a good friend of ours now. Her kids are her age when I met her, the age she was. But she's still walking with God and doing well. But she got saved. I said, go get your other friend. Next thing I know, I had a house full of kids. And I lived in a Rancho Penasquitas, which is right next to Mira Mesa. And these kids are Filipino. So I had Filipinos. I had Puerto Ricans, Chinese, black, white. I had like a little United Nations Bible study at my house. And I had never been any Filipinos in my life. And all of a sudden, all my peoples was Filipinos. I was eating ponce and lumpia and all that stuff. And, you know, It was the bomb. Then I went to Manila, you know, and I was like, you know, kamusta ka, mabuti. And I was like, so those are my peoples now. So, but that's how my ministry life started. And I did the Bible study. When I decided to do the Bible study, it was like a big decision for me. I'm going to do this every week for these kids. I got to be here. So I was all in. I said, I got to do that. Then I retired from football, and I wanted to be in full-time ministry. And so, you know, I had a house payment, I had cars, I didn't, practically speaking, how are we going to do this? So I went to my pastor, Mike McIntyre, said, can I have a job? I want to be a youth pastor. He's like, okay, you know, how much do you need? I said, I need, you know, I don't know, $3,000, I don't know what it was, a couple of grand a month or whatever it was. He offered me a job of $500 a month. I said, you missed it. There was like a little one, a zero over here. You skipped the number. And in an instant, now, but you have to understand, when I was playing football, I was making $9,000 a game, which, by the way, is like half minimum now. It's like nothing. But you only have 16 games. But the point is, you know, I was living PQ, so I wasn't wealthy or nothing, but $125 a week wasn't going to cut it. And the instant he said, you want the job, this little voice, God said, are you going to trust me? I said, I'll trust you. And within 2 seconds, I said, I'll take it. So I was now a youth pastor working 100,000 hours a day. Because I loved it. Did that. Then I said, okay, now I got to go back to New York. So I left the church and was going to move back to New York. And my house didn't sell. So we stayed here. And then we went back and started teaching there again, working at Horizon again. And then God said, now it's time to start a church. Now, I had tried to start a church on my own in 1995 or 6 or 7. I can't remember the year, but it wasn't the right time, and God stopped me. I was getting boils on my face. Now, really, they were zits, but boil sounds more biblical. I mean, they were like fists. I'm exaggerating, but they were big. And they were just filled with just yellow stuff. And I was, this is the truth. If I tell you something's not true, I'll tell you it's not true. Because some of the stuff I will tell you is not true, but I'll tell you, this is true. And we were going to rent out Crawford High School. I was putting a team together. I was getting nauseous like I was going to throw up. I haven't thrown up since I was like 5. I haven't thrown up. I just don't. And I was like, I was saying, we're going to start the church. And you're going to be the world. And then I would lay in bed at night. I would hear, Pastor, nightmares. Pastor, Pastor. And I was waking up literally. And God said, not now. I thought, oh, okay. So several years later, 1999, we said, we're going to start the church. It's time. We had meetings at our house. We had a meeting with 20 people. And then we had several meetings for 5 weeks with about 120 people. And we started the church at San Diego State. We had 3,300 people the first day, which, by the way, was one of the biggest church launches in the history of the United States of America. It was like we birthed a mega church. A mega church, 2,500 people. By the way, it's like, you know, when Shaq got born, I don't know how much Shaq weighed when he was born, but I seriously doubt he was like your 7-pound, 3-ounce baby. He's probably 37 pounds and 47 inches long. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just saying. Someone sent me a video the other day of an elephant being born. It was like 100-something pounds. Blam! That was like us. The reason I'm telling you that when we started the church, we knew if we do this, there's no going back. Every week you're going to have to prepare for Sunday. And by the way, you guys come once a Sunday. We're here all, we do five. And every pastor will tell you, none to no exception, that getting ready for Sunday is a burden, a physical weight on your heart. The weeks that I don't have to prepare for a Sunday is very different. It's like I'm on vacation. But when I know a Sunday's coming, like tomorrow, I'll feel the weight for next Sunday. It happens every week. And I knew that because I was preparing for the, I was preaching every week before I started church, but it was a bigger weight. Now you have staff and now you have the building, all this burden. And I'm not complaining. All I'm telling you is that when we made that decision, we knew we have to be fully committed. There's over 120, 30 people who are fully committed to all of you. That's what make all this happen. They do an incredible job, and it's a weight. So we knew we're going to do this. We're going to go all out, and it's going to be a battle. It is a battle. We fight battles, legal battles, all the time. We have multiple attorneys fighting on our behalf all the time, every week, for stuff. That's just legal stuff, financial stuff, all kind of stuff going on. We're not complaining. It's just a battle. And so we knew we had to be fully committed. And so here we are in February. We're going to be 12 years old. We're going to have a 12-year anniversary. 12 is the number of governance in the Bible. I'm not saying there's some mystical specialness about this anniversary, except that God has given us now a new revelation for our next season, our next 10 to 12 years. And so right now, we are 12, 13,000 people in a city of 3 million, and in 12 years, it's going to be 3.7 million. And we are absolutely not satisfied with what we have today. Now, we had 3,000 people the first day. We were a mega church. We could have said, this is cool. Boom. We've been the biggest church in San Diego for a long time. So what's the point? The point is nothing. And to whom much is given, much is required. Those weren't the goals. That's not the goal. Like I said, we could just say, hey, look at all these people we got. We got a big building. We could just rest. No. Here's what we want to do. We want to put up a quote on the screen called Pervasive Hope. Everyone say Pervasive Hope. Look what it says. For every way someone can be lost, we will provide a practical way for them to be found in the very place they have ended up. And I want you to leave it up there for a minute. I want you to think about your neighborhood. There are 183 zip codes in San Diego, so I've been told. I didn't count them myself. Someone told me, so if I'm wrong, it's them. 183 zip codes. And I tweet out. I don't know if you have Twitter. You'll have Facebook. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter because I tweet out every day. And yesterday I tweeted out there are 183 zip codes in San Diego. Which one do you want to start praying for? Which one do you want to start doing ministry in? 183 is nothing. Nothing. To whom much is given, much is required. God says, I'm giving your church 12, 13,000 people that come on a Sunday. There's probably 20-something thousand throughout the month that come. What are you going to do with all those people? Oh my God, we're going to do something. We're going for San Diego. So I want to talk to you today about reaching all of San Diego. Putting churches all around San Diego is going to require people, some of y'all, to go to that church. We have one in North County. We're going to start. We started. We're going to relaunch it in the first quarter of next year. And if you live in North County, we're having a meeting this Wednesday. This Wednesday, we're having a meeting of core people. Please come if you're from up there to get to relaunch that whole thing and blow up North County. And then we're real close to a building in East County. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But we want to put churches all over San Diego and reach every zip code, every person, every street in San Diego. So we have this foundation of what we have now. It's all, everything's a whole lot going on, but now it's to the next level. So what I want you to be thinking about is you. What do you want to do?
Oh, I just want to sit and listen because I have fun on Sunday. It makes me laugh. It makes me feel good.
Okay, that's all fine. But at some point, we got to grow past that. Because let me tell you, honest to the truth, I have a great time on Sunday. But the burden that this staff carries, and again, it is we're not complaining, it's just the reality of being in war. You know, when you enlist for war, you know it's going to be hard. So when you enlist to get into a fight, which we're in a spiritual fight, you may come and say, oh, this is fun. We're really in a fight. And so we do that not just so you can feel good on Sunday. We all need to be clear on that. We do that so we can help you and introduce you to Jesus so he can get you in the wheelbarrow, so he can take you where he wants you to take you, okay? That's what we're doing it for. So don't miss it. Don't just say, oh, I felt good, and they did their job. No, no, no. We want to get you in a wheelbarrow. Because some of y'all are looking at us going, hey, go, 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 go. It's like you don't watch a Charger game. You're going to see these guys on the field running around killing themselves, and you're in the stands. You need more exercise than they need it, and you're cheering for them. Okay? So let's read this. Let's read the story. Chapter 3, verse 2. It's about Moses. Everyone say Moses. It says in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a burning bush. The angel of the Lord is Jesus, by the way. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn, or why it's not consumed. And the Lord saw that he turned, and he said, call to him, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. He said, do not draw near this place, and take off your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 7, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry. Everyone say cry. Because of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrow. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians to bring them to a good land, a large land flowing with milk and honey, a place of the Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite, Uptite, and Addisite. So number one in your notes. If you are going to get in the wheelbarrow, we want to acknowledge four things that you need to trust, because it takes a lot of trust to get in the wheelbarrow. It takes a lot of trust to say, Lord, I am all in. You have everything that I am. And number one, you have to trust that there's a need. N-E-E-D. Here's what God told Moses. Moses, the cry of my people have come to my ear. Now, if you read the Bible, whenever God calls a deliverer, like Moses or the judges, even Jesus himself, often they were sent by God in response to someone crying out to God. What did God tell Moses? The cry of my people have come to me. I know their sorrow. All throughout the book of Judges, judges were individuals, men and women that God handpicked, Gideon, Deborah, Jephthah, Samson, that he handpicked and said, you are going to deliver my people. And every time in the book of Judges, God picked a judge, it was because his people cried out to him. His people were oppressed by their enemies. They cried out to God. God sent the judge. The judge delivered them. Then they had peace. Then they sinned. They cried out to God. They were oppressed. They cried out to God. And every time in the book of Judges, read the book. Even Jesus, when Jesus came, it's ironic that Jesus came, his coming was associated to someone crying out in the wilderness. God knows pain. He's looking at pain. He's looking at despair. And so here God sends the church. He didn't send the church and put churches together so people can have something to do on Sunday or just feel good. He wants to transform your life, and then he wants you to pay it forward. He wants to send you out. So I want to read something to you about San Diego. These are a few stats. I'm a numbers guy. You can't measure anything without a number. And you can measure pain with a number. Let me read this to you. Within 10 miles of where we sit today, there's 12 abortion clinics, 20 adult bookstores, 30 drug treatment centers, 7 homeless shelters, 115 bars and nightclubs, 98 liquor stores, and 15 escort services from right here where you sit. In a North County, in a North County site, within 10 miles, there's 8 abortion clinics, 28 drug treatment centers, 3 homeless shelters, 12 bars and nightclubs, 130 liquor stores, 15 escort services and strip clubs up there. In San Diego, there are 377 suicides a year, more than one a day, 300 rapes, and we all know that most rapes are not even reported. That's more than one a day. 1,636 robberies in 2010, and 29 murders, one a month. There are people crying out. I can keep going, but you know all the pain that's represented by all of you in this room. There's some of you in this room. You had an experience last night, this morning, that was horrifying. You're in financial despair. You need a job. You're oppressed, depressed. You want to kill yourself. You want a divorce. You want to kill your husband, then get a divorce. We all know the stories. You're addicted to this, you're addicted to that, you're addicted to this. And you're saying, God, God, please. And God's like, man, it's breaking my heart. If I could just find some of my people who trust me that I can send to go do something for those people. That's what the church is about. And so you have to trust that there's a need. Why we're so passionate about this is because there is a grave need. When I drive through San Diego, all cities, but specifically here because where I live here, when I drive through the streets, this is what I see, what I feel. And by the way, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about what God puts on my heart. He says, look at that. Look at all these people hurting. And then I come here and I look at this. And I'm like, man, resources and people and love and joy and all that kind of stuff and need. Now, trust me, y'all have needs too, right? So let's take care of each other. It's not that we're not excluding you. Let's take care of each other. And so you have to trust when God says, Moses, go, God says to Moses, there are people who are hurting and they are crying to me. So where else am I going to go? I need someone to say, here I am, send me. Number two in your notes. You must trust that you are standing on holy ground. He told Moses, take off your shoes for you stand on holy ground. In the Old Testament, if you were to buy land, one of the ways you claimed that land where you walked on it. He told Abraham, everywhere the sole of your foot touches will be your land. And if you sold land, you would take off your shoe and give it to someone as the deed of trust. So he told Moses, you stand on my property. Take your shoes off, homeboy. Don't be thinking that this is yours. And when you take off your shoes, you're going to walk humbly and carefully before me because I want you to respect me. When you walk into this building, you're on holy ground. What does that mean? Holy means set aside for one purpose. This building was set aside to honor God. Every seat you're sitting in is a Bible verse. If you haven't noticed, right on your armchair is a Bible verse. There are 66 books represented in this building. Every book in the Bible is represented in this building. And we divide the room up in 66 sections by the colors of the chairs. You can't see it because you're sitting in there, but every one of y'all is sitting in the Word of God. And there's a lot of other symbolism in this building, but the point is that when we built this building, we bought this building, and the people gave money for this building, we made it crystal clear that this building is all about Jesus. Matter of fact, when you walk out, you're going to see some graffiti on the walls, and you may be thinking, man, these people just write on their own church. What kind of people we got writing on the walls? Well, the graffiti on the walls is not really graffiti. If you notice, there are messages in the cinder blocks. Because before this building was finished, when this floor was still dirt, we had a block party, a cinder block party. We had worship, we had praise, we had about 1,800 people in here, and we asked them all to bring a pen, a Sharpie, and they all wrote prayers on the walls for people. This was 5, 6, 7 years ago. I can't remember what year it was, long before we moved in. And my family, we signed a cinder block over here, and I can't remember exactly what we wrote, but I can read it, but I remember what we said on a video in front of the cinder block. We said, this building is dedicated to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if after I die, some pastor takes over and he doesn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, may God curse him. You may say, well, that's mean. No, it's biblical. It's biblical. You know, when I say God curse him, God... that guy is dishonoring the purpose of this building, so you deal with him. You're according to your love and kindness, but don't bless him. We don't want him leading people astray. That's what that means. And there's a whole bunch of verses in the Bible. Where it's not like a voodoo doll where I'm going to go pin it. Oh, God, get him, give him hemorrhoids and give him this and that. You know, it ain't that. It's like, God, don't bless that guy. Don't bless that guy. And by the way, in the process, the devil will send people here to try to hinder what God's trying to do. So you don't want you want to get behind me. When Peter said to Jesus, you're not going to be crucified, and I don't want you to be crucified and be beat by the religious leaders, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because what you're talking about is contrary to God's plan. This is holy ground. That's what this building's for. When we have a funeral in here for the police officers, and 2,000 or 3,000 police officers come in here, and they walk into God's house, because one of and we've had 6 in the last year and a half funerals in here for police officers or military, 7, 22 Navy SEALs that died. We had a memorial service in here, 1,500 special forces men were in here. Ooh, it was holy ground. And so you come here, we have a lot of fun, but it's something bigger than that. Look at the next one. Trust that you have a holy calling. Trust that you have a holy calling. You are a royal priesthood, the body of Christ. And God has put on our hearts. Matter of fact, I'm going to read something to you out of 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, New Testament, it is the ninth book or so, I believe it's book 9, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, the old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me read that verse again, verse 18. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. Reconciled means the dividing wall between us is broken down. And it says, and that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given us the responsibility to reconcile other people to him by loving other people. In verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, calling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In other words, God is in us. Matter of fact, let me read the next verse. It says, verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Everyone say ambassador. As though God were pleading through us. Say pleading. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God is, I want to say pleading. If you've ever felt like I'm like that, that's exactly what it is. It's like fire in your bones, the gospel. And you see people who are ruining their lives and like, please give God a chance. And so you and I have that calling. Someone just told me the other day, I read this stat that 90%, give or take a few percentage points, of people in prison, juveniles and adults, are illiterate. 90%, give or take a few percentage points, 87, 93, of people in prison, juveniles and adults, are illiterate. That means if you give them this book, they can't read it. Now, if you can't read growing up, you will do other things to make money, and they will mostly be illegal. So if 90% of people in prison are illiterate, imagine how we can change the crime rate by teaching people how to read. People learn how to read by the third grade. Today, 62% of kids in San Diego are not at their reading level. 62%, or 38% are. There's a reading program in the San Diego County Board of Education. We have this on our website if you want to go volunteer. I'm excited. I hope I get to do it. Where you can go in and volunteer 1 hour a week. They would like you to commit one semester or a whole school year, 1 hour a week. And in that 1 hour, you read 20 minutes with three kids. Three times 20 is 60. There's 60 minutes in an hour. You read 20 minutes with a kid, boom. You read 20 minutes with a kid, boom. And in 1 hour, you do that 1 day a week. We can change the crime rate in San Diego. I'm not giving them no hour for no kid. I don't know. It ain't my kid. It ain't my responsibility. I'm just going to be. No. God has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. Is that part of the ministry of reconciliation? It's called love. Absolutely. You can change a kid's life. My wife and I were watching Winnie the Pooh the other day. I love Winnie the Pooh. How many of y'all love Winnie the Pooh? Winnie the Pooh is a man. I hope I get to read Winnie the Pooh, Dr. Seuss, whatever it is, Cat in the Hat. Remember that? Yeah. Y'all remember Cat in the Hat? Y'all so old, y'all remember being kids. Y'all remember Cat in the Hat? Yeah. We could change the whole San Diego. You and I have a holy calling. You got to get in the wheelbarrow. By the way, when you get in the wheelbarrow, it's a sacrifice. Number four. You got to trust that God's going to make a holy provision. Moses says, I can't go. I don't know who you are. I don't have power. They're not going to listen to me. What's your name? Who am I? Blah, 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 blah. And God says, I got all that taken care of. Here's what we're going to do. We would like to plant churches all over San Diego. We have one in North County. We're getting ready to relaunch first quarter next year. If you live in North County, we would love for you to be part of that. Well, that means I can't come down here? Well, you can do what God calls you to do, but yeah, you can go up there because you look at the screen anyway. How many of y'all watching the screen right now as I'm talking to you? Just raise your hand real high. See, you're not even looking. I'm over here, right, y'all? I'm over here. Y'all looking up there. There's times I'm not even here, and people watch the screen, and they look down here, and no one's here. They're like, where'd he go? I was never here. So we're going to start these multi-sites all around San Diego. There's live worship. Everything's live just like this, except when the sermon comes on, it's this sermon the same day, and they watch it on the screen. We've been doing it up in North County for a year. We're getting ready to relaunch that into another building where they're going to have it every day of the week. If you live in North County, we want to encourage you, go to church up there. Why? So you can invite that community to that church and then mobilize those people with yourself to reach that community. We are very close to signing a lease on a building in the East County. We have the biggest population of this church comes from East County. It's always been that way. I don't get it. I don't know, but it's not. It's over my pay grade. I'm not supposed to know. Why? But we're really close to having a building there, and we're going to start a church. Hopefully, if everything goes right and God provides the people and the finances to do it, we're going to launch that in the next year. And want to put them all over San Diego. And then those churches can focus on their 10 to 20 zip codes. Why? To bring hope to every person, every way they can be lost, in every street.
Well, why you gotta do all that? Why can't we just have church and just everybody be right here together, and why we gotta go over there? There's always more.
Well, Jesus said,
he said,
I'm gonna give you power, and I want you to use that power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which is your immediate area, Judea, which is a bigger circumference, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, basically everywhere. And I'm going to give you strong power. When Jesus was being crucified, Pontius Pilate said to him, I can kill you. I have the power to kill you. And Jesus said, you do. You have pop power, firecracker power, judicial power, military power, political power. But he says, I got baboon power. So you can kill me and put me in the tomb, put the little toy cops in front of the tomb, but in 3 days, baboon power is going to raise me from the dead. So I ain't worried about your papa power. The reason I tell you that story is because God's giving you baboon power. He hasn't given you papa power. And with the baboon power, he wants to, through you, transform people's lives. We don't want to hold it all here. We have a big county that we can love on. We have 2,000 people in East County who watch online every day. They don't come here. We have another 1,500 down south that watch online, don't come here. And the number one reason people don't come here is because of distance. So we're going to go to them. And we're going to put a building down there and hopefully and mobilize them to reach their community. The people are already there. Now, what it's going to require from you is going to require some of you to say, I want to step up and do something more than I'm doing now. It's going to require y'all who are in the wheelbarrow to say, I want to be faithful financially. We're having the RFL class this Saturday to help you get a budget, help you get out of debt, help you get your finances in order, even if you don't have a job. Matter of fact, if you don't have a job, it's more the more reason you should have your finances in order. So this Saturday, we're going to have a class. We want to invite you to the class this Saturday, Rock Financial. It's all in your bulletin to get your finances under control and get some wisdom from people who do this stuff and teach on financial stewardship. So your finances can be in order. We need people to tithe faithfully. You don't need to break the bank. Just do what God tells you, what the Bible says. That's all. If all of us just tithe faithfully, we'd have this thing paid off. But all this is going to cost money. We want to get 10 buildings eventually over the next decade or so all around San Diego. We're going to give 250,000 hours of volunteer service this year. I'd love to give 1 million a year. All over. Boom. Wow. Can we do it? Yes. It'll take a long time. We get all these churches up and running all around San Diego. We can do it. Y'all are there. Do you know that right now, there's about 40% of the population that will be in this building who are not here right now, and next week they'll be here? For example, how many of you were not here last week? Raise your hand. Real high, real high. Look at all y'all weren't here. Okay, so watch this. Next week, there's going to be that many people who are here now who won't be here. And then someone else is going to take your place. Imagine if you all came at the same time. That's the firepower. Well, I'll come this weekend. Well, I won't go next weekend. I'll come this weekend. I won't go next weekend. God's going to provide the money. He's going to provide the people. He's going to provide the buildings. He's going to provide the construction to fix the buildings. When we buy that, lease that building in East County, we got to put tenant improvements, TIs, same thing in North County. Some of y'all have companies that can help us do that. But the whole purpose, the whole bottom line, it's to provide hope all around San Diego. So here's my question to you. Are you in? What does that mean? Lord, I'll do whatever you want. That's what it means. I'm getting in the wheelbarrow, and I'm holding on, and Lord, you're in control. And he's going to take your wheelbarrow, and wherever he goes, he goes. But I'm telling you where we're going is we're going to provide hope in San Diego. And God, in that process, is going to put your life right where it needs to be, doing what it needs to do. If you live in the North County, I want to invite you November 9th, this Wednesday, information in your bulletin, up to our meeting. We're going to get a core group together. We're going to build a ministry team. It's going to grow and grow and grow and grow because we want to have a bunch of ministries up there led by volunteers, and we got to hire a staff up there, and we want to blow it up. And if that goes well, especially financially, it's self-sufficient, now we can go do another one. And by faith, we're already getting another one. All this is by faith. I remember when we bought this building. We ain't had no money. Bank said, so you got money? Oh, we're going to pray for you. They said, no, we want cash. Okay, God will provide the cash. We got to try, you know what I'm saying? they didn't buy it. They said, we want more money, more money, more money. But God will work that out. That's the least of my worries. It's the main thing is that we get people that say, Lord, I'm in. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray in a minute. And I'm going to ask you to make a statement today. Is to say, I'm all in. Not by what your words, with your body. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Not right now. And you may have been here for years. Say, Lord, I'm in. I mean, I've been in. I'm going to ask you if you're all in. And you say, God, I want to be part of that vision. I want to be part of the solution. I want you to use me. By the way, you might not know exactly how. It doesn't matter. When you get in the wheelbarrow, trust me, you don't know what God's going to do. But you do trust him. It's about trusting him. And so I'm going to ask you in a minute, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to stand up if you're all in. Now, you may have been here for years. I'm talking to you as well, not just the new people. So I'm going to ask you right now to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to listen very carefully. Dear God, you know the work that goes into what we all do all week long. It is a tremendous, tremendous amount of sacrifice that is made by our staff and volunteers. And we all know, God, that it's not just so we can have services on Sunday that make people feel good for that day. It's so much bigger than that. There are a few million people in this city who are hurting. They are not all our responsibility. But because we don't know the exact number, we're going to go for them. We'll let you decide that. But we are going to put ourselves in a position for you to maximize us as your tool. We all belong to you. But we must be committed. We must be all in that wheelbarrow, holding on, allowing you to guide and direct us by faith. So right now, eyes closed. If you realize, yes, I want to be part of this vision. I want to help provide pervasive hope in San Diego and be part of the solution. I want to be faithful in my giving as according to the word of God. I want to be faithful in my serving according to the leading of the Holy Spirit to use my talents and gifts however I can serve God. I want to be part of the solution. I don't want to just sit around and watch and spectate and naysay. I want to put my hands on the oars and help row this ship. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're saying, yes, Lord, I am in. Even if you've been here all your life and you've been in all your life, I'm talking to you as well. If you are in, I just want you to stand to your feet and acknowledge your commitment, acknowledge your faith, acknowledge your desire to reach our city. God bless you. Eyes closed, heads bowed, eyes closed, heads bowed. Just between you and God. God bless you. 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 Eyes closed, heads bowed.